guys, welcome to Vaudeville. Today is the 31st and off. 31st of December 2019, which means today is the last episode of Vaudeville of this year and of this decade. And I look back and see like how Vaudeville started, which was like last year. Yeah, Vaudeville is 1 year old. And I never in my like when I started, I never knew that this podcast would be like something that's going to be like part of me, you know. When I started, it was just like a way to just release energy, you know, release ideas or release just me talking, literally. I thought that would just be 1 to 2 episodes and that's it. That's going to be all of it. But right now, we are in season 2 and we've crossed the 500 listen mark, which is like great, you know. It's like, it's hard to explain, you know. It has just been an amazing decade, an amazing year for me, generally, personally, and an amazing year for Vaudeville. And I'm so excited to see where this goes in 2020. Hopefully, it goes better. Because there's so many times I always wanted to end Vaudeville. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to keep going until I feel like it's going to be something, you know, in the next few years, hopefully by 2020, preferably. But I have, which is great, because I have listeners from like more than 5 different countries, because I'm looking at analytics and I saw all listeners from Sweden, listeners from Canada, listeners from Germany, listeners from Spain, and I'm Nigeria, United Kingdom, United States, and I'm so excited, you know, I'm so ecstatic to see like where this goes, you know. But this episode, today's episode, we're not going to really focus on like talking about Vaudeville throughout the whole 2019 phase and stuff like that. No, we are going to talk about motion picture TV shows. Like, most likely, I'm talking about the 20 movies I've seen this year that changed my whole perspective of life. And also, I'm going to talk about certain TV shows, kind of like more or less a recommendation for people who are looking for shows to start watching. So, sit back, relax, and welcome to Vaudeville. So, this list is based on movies I watched this year. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with like this movies that we all created this year. No, they're movies that I watched this year that changed, you know, my whole perspective of everything, like motion picture and so on. But the way I put it together is based on the year they came out. So let's dive in, you know. One of the first movies, because it's old, like way older than even my grandparents, is Bicycle Thieves. This movie was like, it came out in 1948, long time ago. Like 1948, during the Italian neorealism. Like, this was around like a little bit after like World War II, and like, so most of these movies were based on like post-war Italy, you know. And I found this movie quite interesting, not trying to spoil it, disclaimer if there are spoilers, just in case I disclaimed. Well, most likely not trying to spoil it, but like the whole like premise of the movie, the whole cinematography, you know, it's black and white, but like it tells this story. Like the plot is a gradual process, you know. At the end of the day, you are hit like a trailer on the face. Like, hit with a trailer, I mean. Oh no. Okay, hit with a trailer at the end, because you're like, what just happened? Like, it's so unexpected. And but it has this moral quality to it. And it kind of just made me see movies in a different perspective, you know. I started seeing the Italian neorealism of other movies that have been created this year. Like, because movies the way movies are, once a film movement starts, like they are, it's just like a borrowing of like different film movements to like create this movie. And Bicycle Thieves is a must watch, to be honest. It was directed by Vittorio De Sica, Italian, and it's quite interesting to watch. Like, you're following this man's life throughout like Italy as he tries to find his stolen bicycle, and it's just so much emotion into it. You're just like, at first you're just like, yeah, this is sad throughout the whole thing, and then you're like, what just happened? It's so much reactions to it, and that really just changed my whole perspective of like how I see movies. The next movie is a movie that came out in 1950s, in 1950 to be more precise. It's a movie directed by Luis Buñuel, called Los Olvidados. This movie takes place in Mexico, and like in the first set of, like, once you're starting to watch movies, you're just like, these kids are rascals. Like, you have your own, you have your own idea of like how this kid will end up already by the first scene, and it starts to get really gory throughout the whole movie. But then again, it's Luis Buñuel is quite I don't really know how to his surrealism is very surrealistic. I don't know how to describe it. There are other movies that I've not yet watched, but seen trailers of, by Luis Buñuel, and I'm hoping to watch it maybe by 2020. I'll make it like one of my goals to focus on those kind of things. But like, there's this so surrealistic aura to it, and it's like, it doesn't sugarcoat. You know how movies are like trying to sugarcoat reality, trying to see for more or less entertainment values. But like, this does not sugarcoat anything. It kind of like has this specific message trying to tell you, and you just listen, I guess, to the message. This is a whole 1950 where more or less people try to use movies as an escape. But just going to cinema to watch something like Los Olvidados, you're like, what did I just watch? Exactly the reaction. And yeah, it's a movie that's a must watch if you're into that kind of thing. If that's the reason you really watch movies, I'm more or less that type of person who watches movies for messages than like entertainment. So that's, it was just eye-catching to me at that sense. Another movie I watched, which was like, I've watched the movie more or less twice. I took two different classes. One really based on art in general, and one based on cinema around the world. And I got to watch this movie in both classes, which was fun, because I can go back. I've watched the movie in total, really, like three times, because for that first class, I had to watch the movie from scratch again to really understand what's going on. And then, yeah. So, the movie's Breathless, but the real French, because in France, it's called A Bout de Souffle. More or less Breathless in English. The movie came out in 1960. It was directed by Jean-Luc Godard, one of the people who pushed the French New Wave into the cinematic world. He's also one of the film critics in Cahiers du Cinéma, which is one magazine I got to read a lot of this semester, like this past semester. About this movie, how I describe it? Well, the movie is weird. Like, the first few times you're watching it, I think of that, you know. But the whole idea of the movie is how this guy, who's an absolute troublemaker, does all these weird things throughout the movie, and literally faces little to no repercussions for all the things he does. So I'm like, that's interesting, like, for such a message. But then I didn't focus, like, I started like do more research on it, and it started talking about like how this movie gave birth to the whole idea of job cuts, because prior to that there were none, and literally there was no script for the movie, so the director was telling the actors what to say, and I was like, what? It just like gives them the word at that time, and I was like, that's an interesting way to see. I mean, it would take a really long time for that kind of movie to be produced, but like, to be made. But this was 1960s, which is kind of understandable, and it wasn't taking place in a studio, so like everywhere you could see like the whole of Paddy in 1960. It was beautiful, to be beautiful black and white movies were very beautiful. Like most of these movies are black and white so far, the color starts appearing later. But like the next movie after that is Cleo de 5R7, which is that like it came out in 1962 during the same French New Wave movement, but directed by Agnès Varda, the only French New Wave director ever. Female director, I mean. Only female French New Wave director. And she recently died like last year. Or was it earlier this year? I think it was earlier this year or last year. One of the above. But she kind of made, like, turned the way of making Breathless into like mostly female centered. So you kind of see like a difference between when a woman directs and when a man directs, and using the same concept, because she goes around Paris too and she's going through her own thing, and but her whole storyline is more emotional than Breathless. Breathless has more or less a very weird comedic idea to it, but she puts this emotion into this woman, and there's so much like attention to detail in, like, you can see Breathless and how it goes through Paris, but yeah, like with Cleo the 5R7, you can see you know it's Paris, but like you are seeing a different aspect of Paris, you know. It brought it like to the street artists, you know, those kind of things. It's beautiful, like cinematographically, it's amazing. Like it's like out of this world, and I really suggest you to watch this movie, not just because it's directed by a woman, but like the whole concentration on the littlest detail. Like it's beautiful, to say the least. So we go like 30 years later, and then the next movie is La Haine, which is also French and black and white. But La Haine, the hate focuses on this, like, boys, you know, focusing on police brutality in France during that time period. It focuses on the racism during that time period, because these three guys, one is black, the other one is from Eastern Europe, and the other one is from Algeria, and the way they are treated, the way they are in the system, and what the system has brought these people to turn into, most times not even their fault, it's more or less like generally system fault, like what system? I'm talking about like the they were in the program, what they call the housing program, where there were a lot of dangerous things happening at that time and in that place, and they weren't going to school, and the whole police constantly focusing on that area and being brutal to them, even if it's just like a little gathering, they feel like it's always something that they're doing. And the end of it leaves the audience to put the pieces together. You know, you have to watch it to understand what I'm saying. It was directed by Mathieu Kassovitz. I hope I pronounced that name correctly, but that's it. And then the next movie is called Old Boy. There's a Spike Lee version, but I'm talking about the original version, which is a South Korean movie. It came out in 2003, directed by Park Chan-wook. This movie, I, as a viewer, went from like, oh my god, this is sad,
oh, revenge, and then what the heck, you know, it's yeah, in this weird roller coaster where it keeps constantly going up, and like the end is like the whole plot twist of it. Like at the end, everyone's like, really? And if you watch the Spike Lee version, like you should probably watch the Korean version, because I know the Spike Lee version might have been the same way. I haven't watched it, and I heard it's the same way. But the original version brings like this wonderful artistic taste to it. So this one is more, this is an animation. More an animation. I haven't watched this in a while, and like we got Disney Plus for a while, and I decided to watch it finally, because the first time I tried to watch it, I was like, what the heck am I watching? And I finally watched it, and I was just like crying my eyes out, and it's Wall-E. Like Wall-E. Wall-E, it's like, I can't even describe it. I even like slowly get emotional thinking about like Wall-E, you know. Now every time I hear Wall-E, I'm like, Eva, it's so heartbreaking. Oh my god, yeah. Well, let's just skip that. It kind of changed my whole perspective of like adding so much emotions to animation. I know like Pixar does that a lot, like with Up. And so people see animation as a way of really escaping reality, or like to put in reality in this reality escapism idea, it's just beautiful, you know. I mean, the whole concept of Wall-E, it's like dystopian, but animation, but so much heart, you know, it's beautiful. The next movie is, oh, Wall-E Diaper by Andrew Stanton. I don't know who that is, but like I just wrote down the directors of the movies, and that's one of the other directors. I have no idea who, how he looks like or who he is or his educational background, but I'll do my own research on that later. The next movie, which is also from France, there are a lot of French movies on this list, it's interesting. Le Havre. Yeah, it came out 2011, directed by Aki Kaurismäki. Please, if I did butcher his name, Lord, please forgive me. I cannot pronounce this, but it's quite interesting. But Kaurismäki. Yes, that. It's like I said, I'm so deep into like movies that have a message to them, that Havre is about the whole people coming from mostly the African continent, going through this life or death situation, finding themselves in Europe, most likely using the sea and like stuffing themselves in like containers in the ship. And like, this is the case of like one of them, he's from Gabon, one of them escaping. Once his plan is to go to London where his mother is, but like they end up in France, the container is stopped at France, and then he escapes, and then he meets this guy who is going through like a whole phase of like his wife being in the hospital, so it's sad. But like it talks about, it shows the point of view of like all these people, you know. Most times their stories are not told, and finally there's this avenue of their stories being told, you know. It's quite interesting, you know, to see. I said you know so many times in this podcast. I feel like you should start a drinking game with this podcast. Drink every single time I say you know or so. I'm sure I say that a lot. The next one is one I have not even finished, but like, because it's a series of short stories, short films in this series of me. Series of short films in this motion picture. It's an Argentinian film called Wild Tales. It came out 2014, directed by Damien Zifron. and this he has, okay, each short story has something to do with society, but has a way of turning the whole movie from what is society to a very comedic point of view. Like, more or less using satire, more in like different ways. It's interesting to watch, like very interesting. I haven't finished it, I hope to finish it very soon, and I'm so excited to see where that goes. Next movie is, and I kind of try to speed up right now because I'm almost out of time. Next movie is What Will People Say. It came out in 2017, directed by Iram Haq. It focuses on this girl living, Pakistani girl living in Norway, her family, and like she does what they say, you know, like if your parents are like from a different country and like go to a Western country, there are still standards of like how to behave, but then she behaves more or less like the Western people there, because obviously she was born in Norway, her whole life is in Norway, and then she gets a boyfriend and her father catches her with this guy. This is summary of it, I'm not spoiling it. And then out of anger sent her to Pakistan, and her whole world goes spiraling down with that whole case. It's a very nice movie to watch. It kind of shows like I could very much relate to this movie in the sense, not like in the sense of like my own personal relations, but like this, how like I've seen and gone around people who like their parents really care about how their life is perceived by outsiders, and like how the child actually feels about the whole thing. It's an interesting movie. It's an interesting movie. The next movie is 8th Grade. I've been wanting to watch this movie since last year, and the movie came out in 2017. Directed by Bo Burnham. It's an amazing movie. I've been wanting to watch this movie since like I was in like since 2017 when it came out, and I've not had the opportunity, and then I finally saw it recently on Canopy, and I was like, I have to watch it. And the movie is so realistic, like in the sense that it didn't like sugarcoat the life of this 8th grader and like how like the whole 8th grade phase is to some teenagers. It didn't show like normal high school movie, girl meets boy, girl is nerdy or boy is a jock, and they end up together, blah, blah, blah. It's not like that. It's really very realistic in that sense. And like there's this need to constantly show realism in like realism in recent movies and stuff like that. The next movie is Birds of Passage. This movie came out in 2018. It was directed by Christina Gallego and Ciro Guerra. And this movie is kind of like a narco movie, like all this movie relates to drugs. It takes place in Colombia, but it's not how you expect it to be, you know. When my chair was like, oh, how many people love narco movie? We were like, oh, us, you know, it's, you know, those type of movie. But then they played it, I was like, that is a really big twist. Like, it takes this twist to the whole drug dealing and how it affects, like, more or less the indigenous people, kind of focusing on the indigenous people instead of, like, the what you call like more or less the gorillas, or you know how to describe more what. It's a must watch movie, Birds of Passage, remember that. Now we're going to the 2019 movies, and I think I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 movies from this year. This year was a great year for movies, but here we go. Starting from the beginning of this year, one of the movies that really caught my eye was Us. When I was going to, I was like every horror movie, huh, this is interesting. But like the acting in Us, I even like recently did a podcast on Us, but I think I deleted that podcast, but like the whole concept is something you don't expect in a horror movie. Like, it's a psychological thriller, and then it makes you start thinking, like, bringing up all these weird conspiracy theories at the end of the whole movie, and then you're like sitting down and like, and you kind of need to watch it twice to understand it, because it's not like you watch it once and get the whole concept. No, you watch it like multiple times and you're still like, huh. it's quite the movie. Directed by Jordan Peele, an amazing director, Get Out. No, those kind of movies really like pinches this thing into you, you know. Next movie that came out later was Avengers Endgame, directed by the Russo Brothers. This movie, how am I doing now? Martin Scorsese said that this movie wasn't cinema. And I feel like cinema in sense of like the way he brought in like modern commercial cinema and found a way to make it artistic in a way still, you know. A lot of people watch this movie. This movie made billions of dollars, you know. And I see why. It's beautiful. It's they so much plot into it. It's not like a plotless movie, like, oh yeah, superhero, yay. Like, there's a whole intertwining of plots that comes into it. It's beautiful. And it really changed my whole perspective of like more or less commercial movies and how commercial movies can be artistic in that way. Next movie is Booksmart. I saw the ad for Booksmart and I was like, it's just two girls on drugs, and I even know the storyline. You know, most times you watch the trailer and you already know the storyline of the movie. This time I watched the trailer and I still didn't know what the storyline was until I watched it recently on Hulu. And it was directed by Olivia Wilde, and she did a good job directing it, to be honest. And the movie, it's this reality to it, but then there's this very weird comedic sense of it, you know, like a mixture of drama, comedy, everything, you know, everything you want in a movie can be seen in Booksmart, you know. The next movie for this year is Marriage Story. Directed by Noah Baumbach, and yeah, Marriage Story is, there's also this sense of, like, a lot of people can relate to it. You know, movies nowadays are very relatable in that sense. Even if a movie is like all the way out of reality, there's sense of relatability concerning that movie, you know, recently, most recent movies. And Marriage Story brings you realism into this sense, you know. A lot of people saw Marriage Story on Netflix and people kept on recommending it, Marriage Story, and then I got to watch it and I was like, I felt like I was in between their marriage, you know. I felt like I'm somehow partaking it, I'm seeing it as from one of their friends' point of view, which is great, you know. To put that into motion picture is amazing. The next one is Frozen 2, directed by Jennifer Lee and Chris Buck. Yeah, Frozen 1 was amazing. It came out this decade. I watched it when it came, around the time it came out, not in cinema, I watched it on TV, on Disney Channel. And Frozen 2 is not any less than that. Frozen 2 is amazing. It's way different from Frozen 1. In that sense, there's so much more emotions put into it. It's more mature in that sense. Like, it's both for kids and adults. Anybody can like watch and really understand what's going on and still like feel what everyone is feeling. The next movie is Two Pumps, directed by Fernando Mireles. And this focuses on like the true life story of the actual two girls, but finding a way to dramatize it is so dramatic. And I don't know if that's, I need to do more research to see if that's like, because I saw that it was based on like the actual relationship between Pope Francis and Pope Benedict, and I want to know more. It's making me want to do research, and I was like, yeah, this movie has to be on my list. It's making me think deeper than the movie in itself. So yeah, the next movie is Knives Out, directed by Rian Johnson. Knives Out, the most unexpected movie ever. I recently watched this like last weekend, and I couldn't sit laid back to watch this movie. Like, so much tension from the beginning to the end. For like, literally, you think it's so much you think is happening, but that's always happening, and you're like, what's happening? And at the end, when everything is unfolded in front of you, you're like, ha! Like, this movie is great in all shapes, form, size, everything. It's an amazing movie. A must watch. And the last movie on my list, Icons of 20. Yeah. It's Little Women, directed by Greta Gerwig. I've already spoken about Greta Gerwig before. By the time when I was talking about it, I haven't watched Little Women at that time, and now that I've watched Little Women, I'm like, HFPA, what the? Why isn't she nominated for like almost all the awards you can think of? She turned this classic book, this book that has been remade so many times by so many directors, and turned it into this artistic beauty, you know? I saw it and I was like, she deserves, for her directing, she deserves an award for it, at least a nomination, you know? It's not even like biased in my own sense, but like, I finally watched the movie and I'm like, this is beautiful. Like, so many people are talking about it, like, someone like, oh, the movie is for women. Like, really, there's no movie for women or no movie for men. Movies are for everybody. And there's so many movies coming from the point of view of the, from the point of view of like the male point of view, that all women watch and it's like normal. But once the movie comes from like the female point of view, it's, oh yeah, that movie is a woman's movie. Like, it should be watched by women and it's for women. I'm like, have you seen like recent movies? Like, their focus, you know, I'm not trying to make this more gendered, but like, this movie is great. Like, for anybody who wants to watch it, you should watch it, get the chance to watch it. It's beautiful, it's a beautiful movie, and Greta Gerwig did a great job. So that's the movies for this year. I'm just going to list the TV shows that I got to, that I saw as very artistic in their nature. I'm not going to describe it, I'm just going to say it. Watch Fleabag every season. Watch When They See Us every episode. Watch Handmaid's Tale every season. Watch Chernobyl. Great. Fosse and the Dawn. Great. Amazing. Beautiful. And The Bold Type. Because I needed to add something like that, something very relatable to it. So that's the end of it. I know this, I'm so sad. Oh, actually, I'm so excited to see what next year has in store. But 2019 has been great, and I'm so excited to start Vaudeville. And I have so much plans for Vaudeville for 2020. Trying to, you know, push the name up there, push the name out there, get it in every household. So yeah. Don't forget to subscribe, you know. And I'm so excited about like the people who have constantly listened to my work. It has not been an easy process. And I'm so excited that people constantly listen to every episode. And thanks for the support, thanks to everybody. I'm so glad. And have a great new year, you know. There are a lot of people like in Nigeria, the UK, Australia, yeah, Germany. Those countries are already like in the new year, and so happy new year to you guys. Right here, we're not yet in the new year, so we're still in 2019. I wonder how 2020 is already, you know. Anyway, have a great day, and don't forget to subscribe, like, leave a review, leave a comment, leave something, you know. And goodbye.